Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 140 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We welcome all Interisti. The depressed Interisti, the I told you so Interisti, who are out and about in force on Inter Twitter today, the optimistic Interisti that are still excited about what we have to play for the rest of the season. We welcome you all to discuss the post-match reaction of the Coppa Italia semifinal second leg against Milan at the San Siro, the last derby of the season, which finished 3-0 to Milan. Goals from Luka Jovic in the 36th and 50th, rounded off by Tijani Reinders in the 85th minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, gonna change up the format of this episode because we'll get into the game, but I'm seeing a lot of different narratives going around Inter Twitter, and I want to either dispel or add credence to these specific narratives. So we'll get into that. Before we do, recording a couple hours after the game here, several hours after the game here, let me just get your emotional state before we head into what is going to be likely a heated and difficult discussion.
Yeah. Buckle up, because I'm pretty pissed off with this performance. I think I've been very, for the most part, supportive of the team, understanding of certain things, specifically fatigue, specifically our injuries, having to rotate to be able to be competitive on multiple fronts. But to me, this loss is inexcusable. And listen, I don't want to say that it's an overreaction with what I'm about to say, but I do think that it's probably the worst loss under Inzaghi in his tenure. Yes, there may have been some ones that we had difficulty with, the Bologna match with Radu's mistake. But to me, if you can't motivate your players to show up for a derby that could have got them to the final of the Coppa Italia, which who knows, there's no guarantee that we would have won it, but I think that's very, very telling. And I'm honestly, for the first time, I'm actually concerned with potentially being trophyless. And I'm not just saying that to be negative, it's a genuine concern. It's a real possibility, and you don't want your team to be faltering going into the latter stages of the season. And in fact, you'd want them to be either maintaining their pace or increasing their motivation. As like, you're close to the finish line, you should be fired up and excited at the possibility of a treble. And to come out this flat, it's not good. And I'm looking forward to being able to dissect this and kind of share more thoughts as we go.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Some of it, I think you're spot on with. Some of it I would challenge. But I think the crux of everything you're saying really does come down to these five things, five narratives that I see going around Inter Twitter right now, that really encompass a lot of what you just said and what we're going to talk about here. So let's get into it. We're going to do a segment to kick off this show here called Buy or Sell about each of these different narratives. So we'll go ahead and how this works for the listeners. Essentially, I'll read off a narrative and you, Johnny, tell me if you're buying it or if you're selling it, if you think it's trash or if it's right on the money. All right, here we go. Narrative number one, Inter had a deep enough team to compete on all three fronts. Buy or sell?
If you asked me in the beginning of the season what I thought, would I be buying that? I would have said yes. I thought that we actually did improve in the offseason, specifically with our midfield and our attack. When you get to add a guy like Taremi, who had pedigree and you add a player like Zielinski, who we saw how fantastic he was for Napoli. I thought that that was a good improvement for us. But I think, given the reality, I would say I'm selling that.
It's a major sell. It's a major sell. I agree with you. Coming into the season, I thought this team was improved on last year because Taremi came into the team with a certain level of pedigree. This is a guy who did score, you know, like 45 goals for Porto in a span of like 50 something games or something like that. I forget the exact, or had 45 goals and assists for Porto in a span of 50 plus games. And Zielinski, you know, obviously we've been watching his quality in Serie A for many years. But the reality is that this absolutely has to be a sell. How can you argue that Inter had a deep enough team to compete on all these three fronts? In hindsight, when you look at essentially, we only had 13 or 14 actual players. If you look at the forward department. Who from the forward department, like, could you rely on for competing on three fronts? Thuram and Lautaro. That's it. Arnautovic has done his job, but he hasn't been able to do it for the whole season because of injuries. Taremi has been a nothing. Correa has been a nothing. In the midfield, Zielinski has been a big zero. Fratesi has picked his spots, but he hasn't been enough. Same thing with Aslani. So you have essentially three midfielders that you can rely on to compete on three fronts, two forwards, the wingbacks, Dumfries, Di Marco, Augusto, and then Darmian is not been great. Zalewski didn't join until midseason. In the back line, you had, you know, the players to be able to compete on all three fronts, but you suffered a lot of injuries, and with the goalkeeper. So for me, that's, Johnny, that's 13 or 14 players. And maybe management should have known this, but let's say they did. What realistically could they have done about it? This was a summer where Oaktree took over for Jang, and they weren't interested in putting in the money. You could argue with the resources available, you know, Zielinski and Taremi should have been contributors. It's not their fault that they turned into absolute zeros. Or you can argue that it's not their fault. I guess, you know, you could also argue the other way. Palacios was not the best use of money, I'll give you that. Jose Martinez, I think, was a good use of money still. But the reality is that when we're talking about, was this team deep enough to compete on all three fronts? I don't know how you can make an argument that they were.
Yeah. You know, 13, I think 13 players is where I would put it at. 14 if you want to include Josep Martinez, but let's assume you can't, right? It's not like you would be subbing out Sommer for Martinez in a game. Realistically, I think the only people that you can count on off the bench were Carlos Augusto, who was awesome. And if you really look at the season, I would make, you know, an argument that Arnautovic was the only other guy that you could actually count on. Now, that doesn't mean he was like this super sub that he could like do all these things for us, but he's definitely outplayed what he did last season. I think he's been much more of an impact player, very good at holding up the ball and holding up play for us. So, you know, I think that for the most part, he was someone that could be called upon in times of need and be able to step up. I agree with you on the Palacios thing. You know, our good friend Tony Mitch brought up a really good point regarding Leone at Parma, who I really thought that deal was going to be done for us.
It looks like it was in the bag.
Like we were going to get him from Sampdoria, loan him out, which I think would have been good for him and good for his development. And as you can see, the way he has been growing with Parma, you know, that's an opportunity to miss. And one thing that is really concerning, and we can, we don't have to get into it specifically today, but if Palacios can't even get into this Monza side, that's not good. That's not good. If you're not good enough to play for Monza, are you seriously good enough to play for Inter? And I'll be honest, I was pretty hyped about him. I did think he was a little slow, but I thought that there was a player there. And I'm sure if you ask any Interisti who did any research on him, they would have probably said the same thing. But it's been a massive, massive letdown. And, you know, we are at a position that we can't afford to have misses in the transfer market. We can't afford to flop. We can't afford to really do anything negative in the transfer market. We have to hit on everything, which I think is an immense amount of pressure for any level of scouting, any level of sporting, because then you're just, you know, no one's going to hit 100% of the time. No one. It's just impossible. But when you're unable to get hits on the little deals that you do make here and there, you know, Bisek, you could say overall was a hit. Augusto was a hit. But for every one of those, you have the signings like an Arnautovic, which was kind of a waste of $10 million or euros, however you want to put it. You know, obviously Correa, massive miss. It makes it hard for sure. So we could sit here and play the blame game and point fingers at management, point fingers at players, and maybe Inzaghi's lack of being able to develop. But it's, you just can't go all, you know, 100%, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we're in agreement that this team was not deep enough to compete on all three fronts. Yeah. They got this far and had us dreaming, but it was exactly that, just a dream. Narrative number two, the Coppa Italia was the least of Inter's objectives, so this result doesn't matter. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it just because again, we're seeing what Inzaghi said and did, and he said all the right things, and you know, management didn't shy away from the treble objective. So I'm going to sell that it was the least, you know, important, because I think all three of them they wanted to do the treble. I think they wanted to repeat that opportunity again to have all three trophies, which would have been lovely. I think we as Interisti, if a gun was put to our head, this would have been, you know, the least important to us. From a fan perspective, I think we would want the Scudetto, of course, the Champions League. I think now, I mean, I don't feel good going into the Barcelona game given our recent run of form, but I feel like that is the most important one now. Like, you have to win a trophy. You have to. You can't go trophy-less. And we can get into something else that I did want to bring up, but
hold it for now, because it might be. Yeah, it might be on the list.
I am gonna hold it. But I think, yeah, you have to now put all your eggs in these two baskets, which, given the way we're playing, isn't great.
I buy that this trophy was the least of our objectives. I sell the fact that this result doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. For no other reason than if you weren't going to go for it, then you shouldn't have put in the effort to beat Lazio the way that you did right before a game against Napoli. And you shouldn't have put in the effort that you did in the first leg against Milan right before a game against Parma. Guess what? Inter dropped points in both of those fixtures and are now sitting tied at the top of Serie A. So while I agree the Coppa Italia was the least of our objectives, and, you know, that's not the trophy that anyone was really hoping to bring in this season, to say the result doesn't matter, it has shown that it mattered. It mattered by the performances that you put out the following league fixture, which occurred 3 days later. If you had dumped it against, you know, against Lazio, even though there was some rotation there, or you just didn't put in that much effort, which it's hard to tell players and management to not go for something, but the way that it played out in reality with the results that occurred in the league immediately following Coppa Italia matches, in hindsight, we should have dropped this thing against Udinese very early on. We did some rotation. Aslani and Fratesi got minutes. Martinez got minutes, which is not really, you know, rotation, because he's a top caliber keeper. It's not really like going to a true like Audero like backup. But the result does matter. To have put in the effort to get to this stage of the season, all the extra matches, not that it's a ton, but it is extra matches that occurred right before crucial league fixtures, which we dropped points, to fall short with one game left to play a final. Yeah, I sell that. It absolutely does matter. Any other point there before we go with the next narrative here? Okay. This is an interesting one that I've been seeing a lot on Twitter, and it's been, I'm not going to give away my my take on it. Narrative number three, the blame rests with Inzaghi, and he should be sacked if he doesn't deliver a trophy this season. Buy or sell?
You know, this is one that I've been wrestling with. I saw someone also mention it on Twitter. We don't have to get into to who. But when I saw it, I immediately did start thinking, is that something that we should do? And then I started thinking, what would the alternative be, though? Where would we go from here? Right? Like, we're not going to, you know, bring Conte back, right? Like, that's definitely not happening. Yeah. What the heck just happened? Oh, shit. Sorry, my mic apparently disconnected, so now it's going through my MacBook mic, which really sucks. Great, I can't even... Shit. You keep talking, I'm going to do something.
Okay. So, the blame rests with Inzaghi, and he should be sacked if we go trophyless. I sell this hard. I sell this extremely hard. We just said, we just broke down the roster for competing on all three fronts, right? That he didn't have the guys necessary to compete on all these different fronts. You could argue that what he's doing is sort of, you know, miraculous to have gotten them this far. Now, it's not going to be great if Inter ends up with zero trophies. It's going to be a failure, 110%. But to put that all on Inzaghi, the man hasn't had a positive transfer window. And when I say positive, I mean from the perspective of being able to actually invest the entirety of the time that he's been here. And people want to say the bottling of the Scudetto and stuff like that against Milan, the Atletico Madrid tie, you know, getting knocked out. Football is football. The ball is going to roll one way or the other. But this Inter side has played some of the best football, maybe the best football we've ever seen in our fandom. And I can't buy into the idea of moving on from a manager that will be snapped up immediately. One of the most coveted managers in Europe. Without actually, like, right before a transfer window where you may actually be able to invest and rejuvenate the team, I think that would be a huge, huge mistake. And if Inter does go trophyless this season, Inzaghi's going to get some of the blame, deservedly so. The players should get some of the blame, deservedly so. But we've got 5 matches left in the league, 2 matches left at the minimum in the Champions League, and these players are completely gassed out. Completely gassed out. What more could he be asking of them? I am critical of Inzaghi for a lot of the substitutions that he's made this year. I'm also critical of the fact that he can't dive into a different tactical setup that may better suit the availability of the players that he has. But I think it would be a huge mistake to, if we go trophyless, to throw out all the work that's been done. Guys, look across Europe. Like, managers and projects are getting discarded immediately, and it just leads to a cycle of consistent, like, you can't get anything off the ground. This Inter has a real project with Simone Inzaghi, and to sack him on the eve of a summer where he can actually get some investment in the transfer window, no, that doesn't work for me. I sell the idea that if we don't pick up any trophies, that he should be sacked.
Yeah, I mean, I would sell it as well, just because, again, I don't think that there's an alternative that elevates us. you know, like that makes a difference, that comes in and immediately, you know, has an impact. You would be probably switching to a back four with someone who you brought in. I don't think you would be going or sticking with the back three. And then what does that do for a guy like Di Marco? You know, he's not really a natural left back. I think that actually, even though he's played pretty poorly recently, I think that kind of negates one of his strengths. And we also know how weak he is defensively. So I really can't make a case for him in that. And like, who would you bring?
You know, who would you bring?
Like seriously, like I think the only manager, and I'm gonna say it right now, the only manager, and I don't think we could afford him, but that I would, if you told me we're gonna get rid of Simone, the only manager I want is Diego Simeone. I agree with that. If that's the only person that you could fire Simone Inzaghi, and I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with it, because you brought in somebody who I think would be able to reinvigorate this squad and be able to work with the core. I think that, you know, Barella would be his Depaul. I think that Hakan could be like his Koke. You know, we have Bastoni, we have Pavard. I think that they would work well for him. We do know the limitations that Bastoni has in a back four and how that hasn't really been a strength of his. However, I do think that Diego would be able to work with him. We know how much
he could play a back three too.
He could, but like, do you think you stay with it? Would you want to try something different? Maybe for the first year until he's able to bring in players that he wants, possibly. But again, like, we know how he rates Lautaro, right? He wanted him to begin with at Atleti. So it would be interesting to see. That's it. I don't think it's going to happen. So don't think like, oh, like, Johnny wants to fire Inzaghi and bring it. Like, no. I'm saying the only way that I would be able to accept it would be if that was the route that we took. But it's not realistic.
The other thing about this too is like, Lautaro signed a long term deal here under Inzaghi. Barella did the same. Bastoni did the same. Di Marco's done the same. I don't know. Those players they're here. They love Inter. They're ready to stay for Inter. If things get rocky and all of a sudden this manager that they obviously believe in him, they obviously like him as a coach. No one has anything but good things to say about him from the team perspective, at least. Not that they would say something different, but like, I believe them when they do praise Inzaghi. What happens, you know, if they get rid of the manager that they've been building this project with because of what has frankly been an absurd season where they didn't have the depth to do what they're doing? And no team in world football history is playing as much as these guys. It's an adjustment for everyone. It's not, I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm using that more so of like, you will not understand the depths of how good you have it until you get rid of, you know, Nima's favorite saying, the next Italian super coach. He's a super coach now.
But like, let's also like, I think a lot of Interisti recently, I mean, I know that there is some like you and me who have been here since before the treble, who have been supporting this club. And I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners who have been supporting this club since before the treble. But I think a lot of people tend to forget the banter era and how dark it was. And now we're kind of spoiled. And I know myself too, but it's like, let's take the 2014 team with Hugo Campagnaro, Rolando, you know, guys like Nagatomo, who I know some people have him as a cult hero. I do not rate Nagatomo by any means. Jonathan was trash too. You had a midfield of Gargano, Kuzmanovic, and Kovacic. Like, there was a lot of guys. Like, can you imagine that team? I know they didn't finish in a Champions League spot, but a team like that would not be able to compete on three fronts, let alone two.
No, it's an English speaking Inter Twitter thing. I see a lot of like the OGs on Italian Twitter being like, what are you guys talking about? I think a lot of the foreign Twitter folks that look at what Inter is doing, they recognize a team that has basically no resources competing at the highest possible level. Like, no resources.
Can you imagine if we had even a crumb of what you were able to do in 2010 to have like a player that we're able to like offload and then bring in a quality player within that swap and then be able to use remaining funds to bring in a world-class midfielder, a world-class center back. Like, I just don't think people understand that. And when we we look at a Barcelona that we're going to go up against and the way that they're able to spend. Yes, they're able to like skirt rules and get away with things here and there. And that's, I'm not saying that's how I want to operate. But what I'm saying is you're going up against a club that does not care about the debts that they would be incurring and that they want to just be able to perform on the pitch. And they think that wins will translate into money. And I don't think that's like the worst way to go about things. I don't think it's the smartest way, but they're able to spend and they do invest in their squad. They're, you know, look at the talent that they were able to bring in. Right. And then you look at on the other side, Arsenal, who I don't rate, but were able to spend and spend well. You look at now PSG, which they did a good job with reinvesting the money that they do have, even though they did lose, you know, Mbappe. But they've now made a more cohesive unit that are now able to compete.
And a younger team. João Neves, Desiree Doué.
I was literally going to get to the youth thing. And I do see some, obviously, the Peter Sucic signing. Love it. I wish we were able to bring him in January because you could see that that is a glaring need in this squad. And I think that he would have added such much value, depth, quality on the ball, technical ability. But anyway, we don't have to go into that. But all I'm saying is we are the team out of the remaining four in the Champions League who did the least amount of reinvesting in their squad and reinvigorating it. That we basically took the squad essentially from 2 years ago and you just swapped out Lukaku for Thuram, realistically. You know,
Arteta put out a graphic that once we got into the quarterfinals and we're top eight of the spend of all of these teams, and Inter was dead last.
Like, I mean, you could say Pavard and Sommer too. I'm not forgetting about them people, so don't come for me. But like, realistically, in terms of starters, it was just Thuram in for Lukaku or Thuram in for Dzeko, whatever, if you want to say for that final. And that's really the main difference. Dumfries still there, even though he's been hurt. Same midfield three. Di Marco on the left. Lautaro up front. And then you have Acerbi, Bastoni, and De Vrij. Like,
yeah. It's my biggest problem with the fan GMs on Twitter. Like, I guess it's fun after a game, you know, I told you so, or to throw out shit like Sack Inzaghi and stuff like that. But like, anyone that actually is in the room, works in football, understands how these things go, they would say that you're fucking crazy for suggesting that. But it's the fan GM's M stuff. So, you know, you can say the most outrageous shit on Twitter and no one cares. I don't know, man. I'm not, if I was in a position of actually making decisions here, Inzaghi is not the person I would get rid of.
No, Inzaghi.
At all.
Inzaghi is not the person. Again, the only person I would do it for, though, is Diego Simeone. But there's a lot of dead weight on this team, which we can get into. I don't know if that's going to be one of the cool things that you bring up, so I won't jump ahead. But
yep.
The things that, yeah, like you said, the things that frustrate me about Inzaghi, the substitutions, the... Like, I think once we went down 2-0, I would have personally, I tweeted out, I would have pulled everybody off and just thrown kids on. Like, that's it. My focus now shifts to Sunday. I'm not going to go for this win because at worst, let's say we tied, and then we go to extra time, and then who knows, penalties. And maybe we win on pens, maybe we lose on pens, who knows. But did any of us really want to get there? Be honest with yourselves. Did you really want to invest more time into this matchup? More draining of any resources, any like health left, any stamina left? I don't think so. So I would have just sacrificed it and been like, okay, you know what? I accept defeat. Now, I mean, I respect Inzaghi for not quitting to an extent, but it's also like Roma's a big matchup. They haven't lost in 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wayne in Rome. You know, the smartest guy on Twitter right now, Roma would be in first place if the games only started 20 games ago. So amazing, amazing statistic. Let's just cut off a third of the season or a quarter of the season. That's a great idea. But anyway, they have been in great form. I'm not going to deny that. But you need to win this game. It's not a draw. This is not. You have to win this game to keep the pressure on Napoli. Plain and simple. So I just wish we would have gone about it that way. But listen, I'm not going to get overly critical of Inzaghi. You guys, as listeners, Alessandro, you know the things that do bother me, the things that bother you as well. So we don't have to go crazy into it, but it was a tough one.
But no manager is perfect. I think, you know, even Simeone would have his, problems. No,
I'm kidding.
Even he would have his problems. So, all right. Narrative number four, Inter dominated Milan across the derbies this season. So this is just another fluke. Buy or sell?
I'm selling that. I don't give a shit about possession. I don't. We could have 10% possession, but if we win 1-0, I'll be thrilled.
It was more than possession. They created a lot.
I don't care. I don't care about creating opportunities. I don't care about XG. Did you score or did you not? You didn't. Plain and simple. We should have won the Supercoppa final. We did not. We should have won the second Serie A matchup because we hit the post 4 times. We did not. We shoulda. It doesn't matter. You didn't win. I don't care about dominant. I can't even think now of which. I don't even think we have been dominated by any team this season, truthfully. But if in the end you don't get the points, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. What matters is the final score when the final whistle goes. Do you have more goals than the other team? Okay, we did not in any of our matchups with them. The way we collapsed in the Supercoppa was disgusting. The way we didn't, you know, we ended with a draw in the second matchup in the Serie A season was disgusting. To give up goals on the first opportunities that each of those, like every time we played Milan, every time their goal came on their first opportunity. We would create and not score. But then boom, they get the goal. Doing what? And the thing that actually frustrates me about this is the way that we continued to play the same style each time that we played Milan and didn't get a result. Like, if it's not working, change something. Maybe do a different, maybe throw them off and have a back four. Actually, I would have loved that if we tried something different against them and maybe did a 4-2-3-1. Not saying it would have been maybe it wouldn't have worked. Maybe, you know, having, Agosto play left back, then you have Bastoni, Pavard, and maybe you put, you know, Darmian at right back, which might have been better, honestly, because we know his inefficiency going forward. And then maybe you have Zalewski on the right, you have Di Marco on the left, you have Barella and Çalhanoğlu as your holding midfielders, and Fratesi right behind Lautaro. Who knows what would have happened? Would they have been prepared for that? Would they have expected that? Absolutely not. Now, maybe it would have been, I'm not saying I'm some technical genius, and maybe it would have been crazy to throw something different out because these players have never done these roles, at least for Inter in this season. But what you've been doing has not been working. Constanzao has had your number every time this season, where, as you know, in the past when he was at Porto, we were able to obviously take care of them. And even Fonseca beat you. Luckily or not, they still won on literally two opportunities. I feel like you had to do something different here in this situation, Simone, because what you've been trying has clearly not worked this season.
Man, we are like the stock market after a tariff is announced. We are just selling today. I sell this idea as well. I will acknowledge that some fluky shit has happened in these matchups. For example, the Supercoppa, Hakan gets hurt, we collapse, and they score a goal in the 94th minute from Tammy Abraham, of all people. The second Serie A meeting, like Johnny said, hit the post so many times, it's ridiculous. This game, it should have been 3-0 in the first half. De Vrij, 2 inches on that header on the corner, 2 inches to the side, it was hit so hard, Maignan wouldn't have gotten there. The game would have been reopened. So, fluky shit has happened. But the reason you sell this is because I'm not going to call the six wins in a row that we had against Milan, 6 or 7 wins in a row that we had against Milan, a fluke. So, I'm not calling what they've done against us this year a fluke. We have been the better side. The majority of time that these two teams have spent on the pitch together this season, Inter has been the better side. But we haven't gotten the result. And we have to own that. We have to own that. And drop any sense of like, you know, they just got lucky. They figured out a way to do this to us. The same way that we figured out the way to do it to them the past 2 years. Balls up in the air. You know, heading into next season. It doesn't feel great to be in this position, but as Interisti, like, you got to accept it. All right. Last narrative here. Buy or sell. Inter will end the season with zero trophies.
You know, the eternal fan in me wants to say that we get at least one. It's difficult, though, to given where we are right now and our run of form recently, it's hard for me to stay positive and believe that we can come away with a trophy. I want to say we can. I want to say that we're going to be, if we beat Roma this weekend, I'll feel better about our chances. I will, that we can get at least a Scudetto at the very worst. But, you know, like, we have two tough games coming up, Roma and then Barcelona right away. How are we going to react to this? Are we going to be motivated? Are we going to be rejuvenated or feel like a sense of pride that we have to go after these things? Or are we going to continue this goalless streak, really, that has not been very good to us? And are we just going to keep floundering this at the end of the season and be a lame duck? I don't know. I'm not one to believe in, you know, Ritiro. I don't think that that's the route that we should go and try to, you know, conjure up some BS magic there. But I also think that, you know, something needs to be done. I don't know if it's the leadership needs to step up in the locker room. I don't know if Inzaghi should be the one who is trying to instill a message into these guys to wake up and finish strong here. You know, if you bring in guys from the treble season to speak to the players, to maybe share some ideas, share some experiences that they've had and how they were able to attack the end of the season, you know, whether it was, you know, how they finished up, you know, having to beat Siena to win the title on the last day of the season, stuff like that. Like, what is it that's going to be able to drive these guys? I hope that we can figure it out. I want to say that we'll at least get the Scudetto. I do. But again, I think this Sunday is going to be a real deciding game, which is scary to think.
So buy or sell? Inter will win zero trophies.
I'm going to sell it.
Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it.
We are all out of shit because we sold everything. I believe, and I will continue to believe, and you can call me the eternal optimist. I do not care. You know what? There's a player on his way back that has been much maligned on this very podcast. But then, Uno reverse card, much praised.
We're talking about Zalewski?
No!
Are we talking about Zielinski?
No! The man with the Timberwolves on his feet.
I think you mean the Timberlins, but I'll take the Timberwolves. Timberlins,
sorry. I'm in the NBA playoffs.
He's got a couple Ant Edwards on his feet.
He's got a couple Ant Edwards on his feet. Won't be able to stop scoring. Denzelone coming back at a crucial time of the season. Marcus Thuram. Man, we miss him.
God, we miss him.
We suck when he doesn't play.
Yes, we do.
We suck when he doesn't play. He should be on the way back. So you know what? We're not going to get less tired, but we might get just a little bit healthier. This loss might just give us that little bit of extra. And you know what? Barcelona's missing Balde and Lewandowski. You know, I think we can do it in the Champions League. The Scudetto, it's going to be really tough, but Napoli is not a foolproof side. Neither are Inter, but Napoli is not a foolproof side. So I believe we sold the shit out of your fucking narratives on Twitter. We sold the shit out of them. Okay?
Tell them.
At the end of the day, we're Interisti. We still believe. It sucks what happened today.
It does.
But we move on. All right. Let's talk about what happened today. The game in and of itself is pretty easy to just lay out here in the simplest of terms. Inter dominates the first half, does not put away their chances. The most egregious one for me is the Lautaro Trivella that, you know, he succeeded against Bayern. Today he boots it over the bar.
Yeah.
Most egregious one for me, but he's been playing a lot and I'm not going to kill him for that. Milan scores with their very first chance. Second half, they come out super aggressive. Bam, hit us on a corner where we weren't tough enough physically. Inter goes 2-0 down. The save from Maignan on De Vrij, and that's it. Then the rest of the game was we were completely, completely out of gas. And Milan asphalted us for a 3-0 scoreline. So we're 40 minutes into this. We do have some listener questions. I think rather than reflecting on this game as a whole, I think there's two things that we should do. One is highlight some specific players. And two, just talk about that four sub moment or window that occurred at the 52nd minute of this game where Barella comes off, Aslani comes off, Taremi comes off. And Di Marco comes off, whether or not that was the right call. Why don't we start with the substitutions? So Inter goes 2-0 down. What do you think the reason is for, especially Barella and Di Marco coming off the pitch in that moment and going essentially like, you know, playing all your cards at once in the 52nd minute? What do you think the thinking was there?
I think like he just saw we're down 2-0. These guys have been a bit inefficient. Now, I thought Barella was doing really well, personally, up until the goal was scored.
He was having an incredible game.
I would say up until the goal was scored, I thought he was, playing very well. I don't know if he thought, okay, I need these guys on Sunday. That's the only way I can justify it. Listen, I don't like to make it seem like Barella is, obviously, he's my favorite player. But I do think that as he goes, even though Thuram, Lauti, Hakan are very important. And I'm not trying to like diminish their level of importance. But I do think that when Barella's on his game, it does make things a little bit easier for those guys around him and for them to be able to find those pockets of space. And he is able to find them with a great ball over the top and stuff like that. I mean, look at the ball that he played for Taremi that got headed back for Lauti. That's fantastic. Truly.
The ball to Lauti over the top that ended up getting called offside. The switch to Di Marco.
And he does that time and time again. With those cross-field balls that he is able to switch, he puts them so perfectly in front of you or right on, your foot that it's incredible.
Those are incredibly difficult passes to pull off, and he makes it look...
They are, and people like, super easy. They talk about him as if he's, I don't know. I can't even think of a midfielder that I don't really know, as if he's Cristante sometimes. Some people like get so frustrated with him over stupid things where it's like, are you forgetting all the good that he does do? And that tends to drive me crazy, of course, but... I think that's the main reason that Inzaghi did that was because, all right, I got to save him for Sunday, unfortunately. And that's what we ended up doing.
I 110% agree with you. It's like the question that I think he's asking himself in this moment is Barella and Di Marco, they're exhausted to begin with. Di Marco looked gassed from the first minute, to be honest.
And can we talk about him real quick? Just real quick.
Yeah.
Buddy,
yep.
Shave your head. Cut the shit.
It's not looking great.
It looked terrible today. And I feel like when he looks like shit,
the blonde is supposed to mask it. But when he gets sweaty, it looks even dumber.
And I think when you look like shit, you play like shit. Just like the movie Moneyball. Confidence is low. You're going to play bad. And either shave it or go to Turkey right now and deal with whatever, have the scars, in the game. I mean, we saw Carlos Augusto do it for a little bit, right? We saw the lines. It didn't look obviously like terrible, but I just think you should just either you could take care of it. You have the money. So let's cut the games. But I think that's why you're playing like trash. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, it's kind of lucky for him that that's what he gets roasted for on social media immediately after the game instead of the performance. But the performance was not great. The question that I think Inzaghi is asking himself in that moment is coming back from a 2-0 the energy that is required to come back from a 2-0 deficit worth completely burning out Barella and Di Marco heading into this Roma Barcelona back-to-back fixture list? And I think he made the right call. The Taremi coming off, it's because he's a fucking zero. An absolute
useless
zero.
Absolutely useless.
Hakan coming on is at least giving, it's not a ton of time that he's got to be on the pitch, and it's at least giving a little bit of, we'll still be in this thing. We'll still try to go for it. Although he you know, didn't play that well. So I have no problem with that window. And I think it's worth also just playing all your cards there at once. And just going for it, because things were not going to get better with the players that were on the pitch. So you might as well go for it. All right, let's talk about player performances. From the back line, the one that I want to highlight is that first 45 from Bissek, and honestly the whole game, but that first 45 from Bissek, defensively, his best in an Inter shirt.
I don't know if I want to say that. It was good, but I don't know if I'd want to say
dominated Leao. Dominated him,
but I don't think that takes a lot. You know, Leao, he floats in and out of games. I'm not trying to knock Bissek. I'm not trying to take away anything. I'm just I don't know. Maybe if I like definitely his best game since January, since the you know the turn of the new year. But I don't know if I want to say this is his best game defense. And maybe it is. It very well could be. I'm you know I'm obviously not remembering every game that he's played, but I'm gonna err on the side of caution, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Darmian and Di Marco, virtual non-factors. Zalewski, a lot of times one too many cutbacks, which I think is a feature of his game that he needs to be just a little bit more like decisive with it.
Sure.
In the midfield, we spoke about Barella, Hakan, not great, did not have his shooting boots today. Mkhitaryan, the giveaways in the final third is like, it's so annoying. But
apparently he's going to go down as a club legend, according to somebody, which is mind-boggling to me.
It's so frustrating to see the giveaways like in the final third. Like, we need you to just be precise there, and not a great game from him. Aslani, I will say that first 45, the best defensively he's looked. Had a couple of crucial.
That I'll probably agree with, yeah.
Yeah, had a couple of crucial interceptions. Lautaro gassed, you know, missed chances, whatever it is. All right, let's talk about who I think we need to talk about here. You mentioned dead weight earlier in the podcast. Taremi looks like a player to me who, if you haven't been able to find, he looks so lost in the system. If you haven't been able to find it this deep into the season, I understand he's been carrying an injury, but this is way deeper than that. There's a mental thing of the hesitation when he gets into the box. There's also like the positioning and the movement is not at all what we need from a striker
100%.
In this system. How can you make an argument to keep him on this team moving forward?
Yeah, you can't. The only person that would make an argument is Nima. I mean, and again, I'm not. Please don't take this as be taking shots at him. But he's the only person who's like really still defending Taremi at this point. And I don't think there is an Interista who would defend him in any way, shape, or form, unless they are, you know, from Iran. Which, listen, that's fine if you want to defend your compatriots. But like, he is just not Inter quality. And I'll be honest, I was pretty hyped for when we got him. Like, man, this guy's a gunner. You know, like he will
just
bag goals for you.
All preseason.
All preseason he was hot. I mean, maybe it's because it was inferior quality that he was going up against. It very well could be. But like I did have higher expectations for him. And it just wasn't the case, unfortunately. And he's been just completely useless. And him, Correa, extremely inefficient. You know, you I wrote down everybody that we brought in this for the Mercatos, right? Taremi, Zielinski, Martinez, Palacios, and Zalewski. Outside of really Martinez and Zalewski, who I do like. I mean, yes, I do think he needs to cut out some things in his game, but I do think that he is still a massive improvement on Tejan Buchanan. I think that we have to, you know, just go ahead and pay the $6 or $7 million option on him and pick it up, because that's a player that you could still work with and build something there. But Taremi, nothing. Literally nothing from him. Zielinski, yes, I've liked what I've seen, but you haven't been healthy. So I haven't been able to get enough of it for it to have an impact on this team, unfortunately. So, and Palacios, we see that may have been a disaster of a signing. And I hope, again, hope I'm wrong, but right now doesn't look good. Especially when you see Leone the way he's playing. Like, I just don't feel good about it. But it's just dead weight. Like, we need to get rid of these corpses that are just not providing anything for us. We need to reinforce with youth. I don't want to just get experienced players for the sake. Like, because look at what the experience is getting you. Injuries and no goals. You could get the same thing from a youth player then, if that's what you want. Like, if you're not looking to get any output, I would rather throw kids out there and see what you can get. And maybe they could develop into something further down the line. But like, you're just wasting minutes at this point with some of these players that just can't really offer you anything. I will be curious to see what we do this summer. I think we have a lot of tough decisions to make. You know, we can see if we bring back Sebastiano Esposito, if we bring in a Pio Esposito like back. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be loaned out again. Maybe you loan him out to a lower table Serie A club next season and see how he performs there. You know, we have Sučić. There are some other midfielders that are supposedly being interested in. You know, there is the striker from Twente, who, you know, there's rumors about Inter being interested in him and picking up Sam Stein. You know, so
midfield.
Sorry, what did I say? Striker. Sorry. Well, he does have 20 plus goals, so he might as well play striker. You know,
I shouted him out a while ago. He's a really good player.
He is. Like, I mean, a little clunky in my opinion, like the way he moves, but he scores and he is creative and he has, you know, great passing and dangerous
more technical
on free kicks
than Frattesi.
Without
brings the same level of goal
question,
scoring
more
yeah,
I mean, look at his free kick goals alone this season, insane. So again, like, there is a lot of options that we could look over, and we don't have to go into the mercato right now, but this mercato for us this season has been a massive letdown. And
yeah,
it's just, it's unfortunate. We, like we said, a lot of dead weight, and we need to trim the fat and be able to hopefully rejuvenate the squad. I'm not saying a full revolution, but there needs to be a rejuvenation for sure.
Yeah. Last thing I'm going to say about Taremi, and then we'll get into the listener comments here. I don't need to see Taremi for the rest of the season. I don't need to see Correa for the rest of the season. Somehow, some way, give me Lautaro, Thuram, and Arnautovic healthy for potentially 8 matches for the end of the year. The only time I want to see Taremi or Correa is in garbage time when we're far ahead. It's just, you cannot trust them to deliver. And that's been the case for a long time. But now we're in a stretch of the season where it's like, you can't give them another chance to deliver. Like, we don't have the wiggle room in either of the competitions that we have left. And we have the whole discussion about, you know, getting some trophy. We don't have the wiggle room for them to figure it out. It's over. Garbage time minutes for you for the rest of the year. And Arnautovic, you have to stay healthy so you can give Lautaro and Thuram some sort of break. You got to stay healthy. You've been maligned by the fan base, but we are at the point of like, we need you. You have at least a modicum of quality to your game. You gotta stay healthy. All right. Let's get into these listener comments. First up, Alex Mirati. Lack of depth really showed for the match. If we're going to, for a transfer revolution, what position is the priority? I'm going to say striker. There's just no depth there as it currently stands.
Striker. I mean, yeah, lack of depth is big, but I'm going to say midfield. I think you need a third guy to put alongside Barella and Hakan. You know, Sucic could be that guy, so maybe we don't have to worry about it. He very well could be, and I wouldn't be upset about it. Everybody knows my love for Croatian players. But then, all right, let's say I don't go central mid. I'm going to go center back, like center back. We need to get somebody back there too, who's young, who's agile, strong in the air, and is, you know, knows his responsibility as a defender. I don't need you to be, you know, having marauding runs up front. I don't need you to be losing your I need you to be hyper-focused on the art of defending. That's what I would want.
Yeah, I agree. And for that center back, you don't even need to be a particularly, like, expansive passer or technical player.
I just need you to defend. Bastoni can do the passing. Pavard can do the passing. You don't need to worry about passing. I just need you to be a locked, like, almost like a lockdown corner. I need you to be that at a center back. Like, just negate a player entirely.
Yep. Man. At Artwine, intertwined, I feel like wastefulness in front of goal remains one of the main culprits for us. We fluff far too many clear-cut chances while creating good ones. If Lautaro hits a chance in the first half or Hakan hits a perfectly set-up shot in the second, this could have been different. Yeah, it's been the story of the season. In all these games, Milan, Juve, Napoli, it's been the story of the season. I thought Bissek was better than he's been recently. That's from Peter Jordan. We touched on that. He has for sure. M6 Zeki, not a question, but please make a keep versus sell, get rid section of the pod. We're absolutely going to do that towards the end of the season. Lee Theobald, was there any decent performance tonight for Inter players you could think of? I thought DiMarco had no energy at all, hardly ran.
Barella.
Yep. Peter Jordan, this could spiral out of control if the team doesn't react versus Roma. There are some players in dire need of rest for Barca, like Bastoni, Lautaro, and Darmian, assuming we don't rush Dumfries back, which I hope we don't. The spiral is definitely possible, just from a mental and physical standpoint. But given that Roma is one of the hottest teams in Serie A, if not the hottest, a victory over them will go a long way towards, like, restoring that confidence. Two losses in a row, this team is going to be a little fractured mentally, but if you pick up points there, it's kind of like clean slate, all is right again. Let's get back on the horse here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want these 3 points, and I don't care how it comes. I hope it's not ugly. Normally I'll be like, oh, I don't care if it's an ugly win. No. Like, we need to have a little bit of fluidity. We have to have consistency, be able to finish our chances. Like, that's huge. We haven't been doing it. We need to do it. The rest for the players, I mean, yeah, like, I think you do need to maybe rotate Bastoni out. I think give him at least the first half, right? And then if you need him in the second half, you could bring him in. That's actually something where I may consider, like, you start DiMarco, you have Carlos Augusto as the left center back, and then if you needed, boom, DiMarco out, Bastoni on, you push Carlos Augusto up the pitch, and you see what you got there if you need to be, you know, doing something else. But we need to win this game, and it needs to be a little bit like a 2-0 win would really ease, I think, a lot of Interistis minds and kind of settle them down a little bit. So let's hope for that, and hopefully we are able to do some rotation, but not in the sense where, you know, you're bringing in players that you don't trust, that you're able to, you know, bring a Hakan in from minute one, and then, you know, it's probably going to be Fratesi, Hakan, and Barella for this game if you really think about it, with Mkhitaryan being suspended. Oh wait, Bastoni is also suspended in this game, so he can't even play.
Yes. Yeah.
So forget about what I just said about, you know, being able to play Bastoni. I totally just, you know, now bringing up Mkhitaryan, and I forgot Bastoni is also done. So looks like it's going to be Carlos Augusto from minute one at left center back there, which I'm fine with. Like, I do trust him defensively, and that's typically.
It's also at home. Like,
it's at home, and that's also, he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be able to handle Matias Sule very well, who's going to be trying to cut in on his left foot, which is his preferred foot. And, you know, if you could have Acerbi negating, you know, Dovbik or Shomuradov, whoever is going to be the guy up front for that game, I think we should be able to handle them personally.
My biggest worry legs wise is Lautaro. Honestly, he's been playing too much.
So, like, let's say if you're coaching, are you starting, if you can, Arnautovic and Thuram instead?
I don't know if Thuram can start.
I was gonna say, and that's assuming Thuram could start. Let's just say he can. Would you do it that way, or would you rather it be Arnautovic, Lautaro, and then you bring in Thuram maybe in the 65th minute?
Man, that's tough. But then who do you bring him in for? Because Arnautovic probably doesn't have 90 in him. Thuram definitely doesn't have 90 in him.
Then I think we literally have no solution then. Because what are you going to do?
The solution is you have to start Lautaro. You have to start Lautaro again. Yeah. It's not great. We have one speak pipe. You guys were fucking depressed today, huh?
Don't
blame me. Haven't listened to it.
It's probably not good.
Hey, boys. That was a difficult game. But anyone who's in Zaghi out after this is an idiot, respectfully, in my opinion. The failings of this season come down squarely to the management, to the society, for not properly investing in the summer, when the only two signings we made were free agents who were over 30, and then also some random kid from Argentina. Like, it's embarrassing. We got kicked out of the Coppa Italia, we got kicked out of the Champions League, and then we were able to run away with the league last season. But that's not the case this season. And the management knew we were going to be fighting on all three fronts. We wanted to fight on all three fronts. They wanted us to fight on all three fronts. But we can't do that with an aging core of our squad with not enough suitable, reliable backups on the bench. So yeah, I think this summer there need to be some difficult decisions made, and we need to invest heavily. Yeah, that's it. Love the pod. Keep up the great work. And Forza Inter sempre.
I am FN11 bars today. Bro, huh?
I loved it. Loved it. Like, let's go.
He's right.
Honestly, fantastic points.
Everything, like, really, he said.
Truly.
Yeah.
No notes.
And Zaghi out people are ridiculous. The squad was too old.
Yep. When you're relying on Henrik Mkhitaryan for massive minutes for you, that's not a good sign. It isn't.
No.
It isn't.
No. Man. This is going to be a hell of a run-in, Johnny. I love doing these pods with you, but
it would be nice to have a winning pod. And, like,
yeah.
I feel like the last three we've had, not great. Even the Bayern one, even though it was a 2-2 draw and we were able to advance, I feel like it still wasn't high, you know? So.
Yeah, it's been that kind of season, but hopefully we can wrap it up here enough that satisfies everybody. Knock on wood. All right, anything else for the people before we get out of here?
There was something I did want to say. No, I don't remember. Hey, if you are going to be the Club World Cup in LA in June, hit me up. DM me, tweet at me, whatever. Don't tweet it to the podcast. Like, try to, like, find me at SauceGMP. I want to be able to meet up. I want to be, you know, like, I would love to get a group of Interisti. We get dinner before the game. You get breakfast before the game. Whatever it is. I would just like to be able to, like, meet up with a bunch of you guys and be able to hang out, chat, whatever. Share our thoughts and kind of, like, be able to do this in person and not just on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's it.
We did get another tweet from Sam O'Rourke. I do not envy your position. I'd rather just forget about it and move on. Just wipe it from history. Yeah.
I wish we didn't have to do this episode, man. I really do, Sam. So, and also, like, you know what? Shout out to all our listeners, like, for wherever you are in the world. It's so cool to see all the countries that you guys are listening from. Like, even people in India, New Zealand. I mean, we know where there's people in Australia. I saw some listeners in Greenland. I didn't even know there was Interisti in Greenland. I mean, that's
That's actually Trump listens to the podcast. That's actually what he's doing it for.
He was there listening. You guys are fantastic people.
Great pod.
Wow, that's actually a really that is a better voice than I did. Like I was pretty weak with mine. Yes. Beautiful people.
She's gonna have fun with that.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.